You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
One pick and a Super Bowl champ with the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lawrence Taylor!
Cut him every trash, DMT for short. Wonder if we best, why don't you peep the score? Sports Center Re, gonna be top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise and shine with 98.7. This is Drive Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Dave, Chris, and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
And welcome aboard. It is May the 14th, 2021. The show is DCR. Carlin in for Canty yet again. And you're going to be with us a little bit next week as well. A busy show today. We react off another Knicks victory. A Yankees loss. Mets get back into action tonight. Lot to get into. Getting to know your co-host at 6:45. We think, and I don't even know what can be true at this point. Jay Williams at 5:30, but let's say good morning to the guys and say good morning to one Rick DiPietro. Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Good morning, David. Good morning, Christopher. How are you feeling? It's Friday. We're finally through it.
I feel outstanding, and just yesterday, walking to the Seaport, getting ready to do the show with Bob, I was listening to some Dua Lipa. Really? you think I'm kidding? It got me... Put a little extra spring in my step.
A little energized, huh?
Let's
what
go.
A day yesterday was, too.
I am
beautiful
quite
day.
Literally levitating. Yeah.
Well, look at you. So you have not felt the 4 o'clock, 3:30 a.m. wake-up call all week long. You've just pounded right through it, huh?
No, I wouldn't say that I haven't felt it. I would say I have felt it greatly. I would just say that call it a second win. Call it, let's, 3 a.m., let's rally. That kind of thing.
Call it hardest work is... Carlin going from his car to the studio at the Seaport, welcomes everyone in, job done.
That's it. You're like, you're like, you ever play Anchorman in college?
No.
You never?
No, what's that?
Yeah, you've played. So, are you serious? You've never played Anchorman in
college? I've never played Anchorman.
Rick, have you?
I have, yeah.
Yeah. You've never played Anchorman. So
no.
It's when you're like a team of four or whatever. And there's a large pitcher of beer. Mm-hmm. And the first guy goes and drinks as much of the beer as he can and hands it to the second guy. And he goes and you save the remainder for the anchor man. But if the first three guys are doing their job, they try to make a dent. You're like the anchor or you're like the leadoff guy where you take a sip and you hand it to the next guy on that show. Because you welcome everyone in, and then I don't know if you start to have a lunch or you start to actually have some beers or how it works out, but I listened yesterday for about 7 minutes in my car, and I think I heard you for about 45 seconds.
See, Bob gets this knock, and it's justified that he won't show up. That's it. That's all I had to say.
Yeah. It was unbelievable. I actually thought, and I told you this in our pre-show meeting, I'm in the car, I'm listening, and he's going on for so long. I said, well, I guess maybe Carlin wasn't feeling well. They decided to give the show to Bob solo because obviously Chris is not on. No, you were on. You were on. he had a lot to say at that moment.
I tell you, I love Bob to death. He is just one of the best people on the planet. But that was that was just kind of hanging out. I really have no other way to go than that.
How would you know that he's one of the great people on the planet, Bob?
I've known Bob for a long time.
Okay, but how many people on the planet do you know?
What, 7? Something like that? So, yeah, not a lot.
Yeah.
I think anyone that likes Carlin, he considers one of the best people he knows. Because, we've already found out during the course of the last 4 days.
A lot of people don't like him.
Quite a few people that don't like him.
It's fair.
I anger people.
One of those people is supposed to, and I use the word supposed to in air quotes, join us at 5:30 this morning. Although, honestly, I have zero confidence that happens. Jay Williams, 5:30 this morning.
Yeah, okay.
You don't think he does either, right?
No.
Hey, he's broken my spirit by now. I mean, I'm a shattered individual considering what's going on here. I mean, it's one of the great shams of all time, and I don't even know that it's even Han at this point. I don't even know I can blame him individually anymore. You know, for bad-mouthing me to Jay Williams, clearly.
If he does join us at 5:30, will you say, you know what, take a stand, I'm not going to partake?
I don't know. I might sit here just in amazement that he's actually here. I may just kind of take it in for a moment. I don't know if taking a stand is going to help me, but I don't know. I'm so broken over this thing. Like, it's just, you know, like, what did I do? What did I do to anger you?
Tell us, Chris.
I'm a nice guy. At least I think so. And all week long, it's just, this has been going on for months, really. And all week long, it's just been so blatant. You know?
It's the troll inside you. It's not you, Chris. It's not you. You gotta understand. It's not you.
Really?
Maybe it is a little bit you, but
I think it is him.
Well, I was trying to make him feel better. You said he's shattered. We're trying to get him through the next, 2 hours and 55 minutes. We need him. You got to build him up a little bit. Look at him. I was willing to give Jay. I think we all were. Like, I can't be Carlin. Like, Alan wouldn't be doing this. Like, Alan's a good guy. He wouldn't try to screw Chris. I was going to give him the benefit of the doubt that this wasn't a coup to get Chris fired. And then I find out Jay didn't even drive himself to the studio.
No.
It's the driver that has the flat
tire?
He
was in the back seat of the car doing God knows what as the driver, I'm sure, was changing the tire.
We one time, when I was a producer, booked Alan Houston as a guest, and he canceled because he was, quote, eating waffles.
Wait a minute.
This is what I feel like is going on right now. Like, this morning I'm going to be told Jay Williams is eating waffles.
I need to
revisit this. Mind-boggling.
Wait, hang on a second now. So it's like 1:15. You got Alan Houston booked. You get a text from him that says, can't join guys eating waffles.
It was the midday show at the time.
Okay.
And I actually was not producing it. I would just happen to be right there. And he was supposed to join Summers in Salzburg at like 11:30. And this wasn't even a text message time. This was a phone call.
So he called in.
One of his people called in.
And said, I'm sorry, Alan can't join right now. He's eating waffles.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I couldn't make that up, Dave, if I tried.
I don't know that I've ever heard something more preposterous. Like, he couldn't say flat tire. He's detained. He can't make it. Has a child at the doctor. Grandmother not well. He's eating waffles.
But that was the brilliance of it. It was just so blatantly true that he was actually sitting there eating waffles that he couldn't. That's how much he couldn't be bothered.
Oh, my God.
This is how much he respects Chris Carlin. I mean, he didn't even try. They're not even an attempt.
No.
He's
not even trying to fake it. Just bottom line is I could, but right now I'm eating waffles. I have no interest in, calling in.
So is it outlandish to think that we could actually get that in 20 minutes?
Waffles.
Yeah.
Jay, why can't you join us? Waffles.
He's got a nice Mucilix working.
Oh, my God. All right. So last night you watched the Knicks. They fall behind, and at least I did, and shame on me, I guess. I think, you know what? All right, the sixth seed. That's what it's going to be. Atlanta's winning. Miami's winning. The Knicks are losing. You know what? They won't have to play the next two games all that hard. They'll get 6 days off after that. They're going to have an extended period of time basically off. And they say, no, hang on a second. And they fight back and another win and a good win. And it's more of what we've seen all season long from the Knicks. Just another really solid performance.
All right. I think last night was the perfect example why I got angry with Carlin when he was talking about being frustrated with the Lakers' loss.
Because they give you everything they have every night?
Well, no, that's one of the reasons, too. Yeah, you're right. But, I mean, last night, like, you're just, good win by the Knicks. That's not a good win. That's a great win when you look at what happened yesterday. They already qualified for the playoffs, right? So, naturally, there could be an emotional letdown, right?
And there might have been.
They go down 17 points. Yeah, you know what? We're down 17. But this one's over. Nope, they fight back. They turn it around. They go on the 21-2 run. On top of the fact, winning in the NBA is hard, period. How about when you don't have a point guard? They essentially won last night's game with no point guard.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Zero. And a guy that just missed a guy that missed 11 of 13 games comes back and drops 30. He was awesome
last night, huh?
He was outstanding. I have to tell you, the Lakers lost last night, and this is going to drive you insane.
You're going to tell us it bothers you more now than it did the night they lost.
Yep.
Oh.
And the reason, first of all, Rick, it is a great win, but let's put it in context. They had the lead at the half, and then they completely, over the first 9 minutes of the third quarter, or 8 minutes of the third quarter, got their doors blown off for a stretch and fall behind by 17. And yes, to come back to not just fold up the tent for the night was incredibly impressive and a terrific win for them. But I do look at the fact that they put themselves in the position to begin with, and then now they are sitting there and have to win out, and you've got Miami who won last night. You've got Atlanta who is in pretty good position right now, and you're going to be sitting there in the sixth seed.
You don't know that at all. All you need is Milwaukee, who's still involved in fighting for that second spot, in prime time Saturday night to beat Miami. That's all you need. And then the Knicks win their final two games.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I know that's what you need. I'm not convinced that you're going to get that.
You may not get it, but you say like it's a foregone conclusion they're going to be the sixth seed.
I think right now, I don't feel good about it. I don't feel good about it at all. I really don't.
Yeah, here's the thing, though, too, Carlin. What you just said doesn't drive me crazy. I just think sometimes you underestimate like the human element that goes into playing sports at that level. There are other factors. The point I was trying to make with the Lakers game, because there were parts of that game, especially late, where I was frustrated. Lack of execution and everything else. But, there are a lot of things going into that game, too. You just had your biggest win of the season. Mm-hmm. You're on the last game of a six-game road trip. You're playing against a Lakers team that's desperate. There are a lot of things you don't really have anyone, late in games that really is kind of that guy that can finish. Randall's, for the most part, Randall's been that guy.
He's become that guy.
But it's still something that you're looking for. And then you come back from the West Coast and you play a game with no point guard and, kind of the emotional letdown of, okay, we already clinched.
We clinched a spot. We're in the real postseason, yes.
And then San Antonio can't miss a shot in the third quarter. Could not miss a shot. They were, 13 of 14 to start that quarter?
Yeah, they were red hot. Carlin, I don't think you give them enough credit.
It's possible, and maybe I'm just getting caught up too much in the moment. I am having trouble at the moment because the season's been so good for them, looking at it from the 30,000-foot view right now. I'm having that trouble.
Well, I think we need to get over it with you. Look at what they're doing. They're competing against everyone they play. They're beating more teams than they're losing against. They're down 17 in a game that, let's be fair, they don't have to win last night, and they still find their way back. They do it without a point guard. Alec Burks is sensational. I'm being serious when I say this. I don't think you give them the credit right now that they deserve.
I think at the moment, Dave, I hit a point in the season, probably in the last few weeks, where I stopped looking at the big picture and kind of started focusing on the moment. So it's not like I'm ever going to sit here at all and say I'm disappointed with the Knicks season. I'll be lying if I tell you that considering they were in the position of the 4-5 for a couple of weeks, and they have gotten that close to really having a good matchup in the 4-5 round, that I'll be disappointed if that doesn't happen at the moment. So I am giving them credit because I'm sitting here invested in the moment. The fact that they've given you this moment is phenomenal. But I don't want to think about that for a few more weeks. I want to live in what's going on right now And right now, they have given you something to care about. That's why it makes the other night disappointing. Because I do enjoy living in the moment as a... I'm not even a Knick fan, but I enjoy living in the moment when I watch a team that has overachieved all season long. Like, oh, man.
But I don't know why you're there. I mean, why? I mean, listen to the Knicks. Watch the Knicks tomorrow, 1 o'clock, right here on 98.7 ESPN against the Hornets, right? You win that game. Milwaukee beats Miami, which I think has a real chance if Milwaukee's trying to win that game and plays to win it. And then the Knicks close out the season with a win against Boston, and now you have your four seed, Carlin.
But that, I don't know how much Milwaukee's going to try to win that. I don't know how much they are. Like, I don't know where, if they have the motivation for it. You know, are they going to play Giannis as much as they can in that game? I don't know. So that's, I guess maybe that unknown bothers me too. But again, Dave, it's more that they have been so good all season long. And the great story that they've been, I allowed myself to get caught up in the moment as opposed to looking at the big picture. I will be able to look at the big picture a couple of days after the season if they do not end up in the 4-5.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing, though. I'm not even talking about looking at the big picture because I understand, like, I'm fully invested. I'm the same as you. Like, I'm fully invested in this team. Like, from the get-go, I mean, we dragged Dave on the boat with us. Like, we're fully invested. I want to see this team, you know, obviously have as much success as humanly possible. I'd love to see them win a first-round playoff series. I guess my point is that I think we're looking, and I'll take you as my example. You look at the Lakers game, and we get on the radio, and you're disappointed, and you're frustrated. Which, I mean, I guess you have the right to be disappointed and frustrated. Like, you're like, critical of that loss, but I don't think you give enough credit to the Knicks for a win last night. You're just, like, kind of like, okay, it's San Antonio. It's okay, it's a win. Like, that's a great, like, what they did last night was a great win.
It's a great win.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Carla, let me ask you. How long did it take you to come up with this five-pack of questions?
I gave it a good hour yesterday.
Did you really?
I did, absolutely, because there were...
This is the worst thing that you could have possibly said.
Why? Because you're just going to rip it to shreds.
No, not at all. I'm sure it's going to be great because every single thing Rick does takes him 8 to 10 times more than the normal person. So the thought was if it took you 5 minutes and it takes him an hour and a half, it makes him look ridiculous. But the fact that it actually took you an hour kind of plays into his neuroses here.
Well, it wasn't just that. Listen, I wanted to do a good job on it. I didn't want to just, what's my favorite color, you know, or stupid stuff like that. I wanted to give you some real flavor into getting to know your co-host. Into the vast tapestry that has become my career.
And I've heard that RJ has seen the questions and absolutely approves of them. Thinks you did a terrific job.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. I there were a couple that I considered subbing out. There was one that I pretty much was told to sub out.
Really?
Yes.
Was it racy?
Racy in terms of the personalities involved.
Oh, did you take shots at someone?
No. I simply told the facts about someone, and it wasn't anybody I worked with. This particular question.
Who just what
happens?
Anymore?
This is what happens, Carlin. When you try to have fun, you try to get a little bit, you know. A little bit racy. RJ shuts it down. The guy does not want to have any fun.
No, it wasn't RJ who shut it down. I made the mistake here, Rick. I asked permission as opposed to for forgiveness.
No.
That's yeah.
First mistake. Rookie mistake.
Now, wait a minute. Was it Raymond that said no?
No.
Wait, you went up the food chain with your getting to know me questions?
Ryan Hurley and I were texting about a couple of things yesterday. And I sent him one to see what he thought, and he liked it a lot. And then I sent him another one. I said, can I use this one? And he said, I don't think so.
Really?
Yeah.
Will you tell us off the air?
Absolutely, I'll tell you off the air.
But I'm surprised that he went to Hurley for permission with the question.
It wasn't like I sought him out. We just happened to be texting at the time, and I thought, let me see what he says about this. And I was going to put a contingent question in there because I did know that it was possible this particular question would get shot down.
Now, last week we went into, what was it, quintuple overtime, Rick?
Yeah, we went seven deep.
Yeah. So,
wait, I was supposed to come up with more than five?
Well, yeah, I think you're supposed to have tie-breaking questions, yes.
All right, well, then I'll have to come up with a couple of more just in case.
Yeah, just in casers. Let's go to the phones on the Knicks. 800-919-3776. Alessandro in Tampa. Good morning, Alessandro.
Pleasure to be back on your show, Ricky and Carlin. It was a pleasure meeting you in person again. Calling in from Tampa, wanted to know your thoughts on what's a successful playoff run. I mean, it's amazing how Tibbs has transformed the Knicks, who have been losers for the past 10 years, nearly unwatchable. I mean, first round they win, second round they win. What do you guys think?
No. No. If they if they compete in the first series, it's a successful playoff run.
You know, it's funny. I heard Breen with Michael Kay the other day, and he's talking about how, you know, these teams at the top wouldn't want to play the Knicks primarily because it's going to take a lot out of them in the first round. Not that they're going to lose, but it's going to take, like, it's going to be a grinded out type series. Even if it wouldn't go seven, because of their style of play, that it will be a more physically taxing series for a team like Milwaukee, you know, up top like the Nets, that would actually, you know, maybe hurt them down the line for as much as it could, for as much as it would toughen them up for a win.
I think you have to wait and see. I don't think you can sit here right now and make a decision what you think is going to be a disappointment or not.
Well, you're certainly not going to say they have to win two series in the postseason.
Well, No. But you got to wait. Again, I mean, I think how you feel about it is going to depend on who you end up playing in the first round.
Yeah, right? And there's like only one scenario for me where anything right now would be a disappointment.
And that would be Atlanta.
Correct.
Yes.
Correct.
If you play Miami and you lose. Now, listen, if you get destroyed, if it's four games in a row and you lose by 14-plus points in every game, yes, that's a different level, and now I think you have the right to be disappointed.
Why? Can I ask a dumb question? Why are we pretending? Now, I get the Knicks have had success against the Hawks, right? Mm-hmm. Last time I checked, since Nate McMillan took over as the head coach, the Hawks are 26-11.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're red hot. I don't know why there's this. Well, it's not me. I don't think that. Ask Carlin.
I don't think
Chris,
they're rolling
answer.
Through, to be clear. I think I'd be bummed out if they lost that series. Because I think that's a winnable series, Rick. I don't even think the Knicks would be the favorite in
this
series.
It's a winnable series, but if you're doing sports talk in Atlanta right now, you're sitting there saying, boy, if we get the Knicks, that's a winnable series for us.
Yeah, that's because they haven't really watched them play enough this year. And they will look at it and say, well, we were missing a couple of things in the games that we lost to them, which is accurate. You know, I mean, Trae Young got hurt down the stretch in that last one, right? They've had a couple of instances like that. So I get where they would feel that way, but I also think that it's a series that I think we all feel like the Knicks have a good opportunity to win it. Do you not? I mean,
their best
I'm not
chance.
Saying
yes. It's their best chance to get the second round.
Yes. So that's
but
all I'm saying.
I'm telling you this right now. I guarantee this. Just because, I mean, it's how the Knicks play. Mm-hmm. This, if it ends up being Atlanta, right? Because I mean, your expectation would be okay. This could be a series we could win. It'll take years off your life watching the series because these games are going to be so close.
Yeah, I agree. But I kind of want that. I, you know, taking years off, you're like, I want to be sitting there
you
with a knot in my stomach
again.
On a couch.
Yep,
I think the
it.
Weight's already done that, but I mean, if you want to take a couple more off, that's
oh,
fine.
Oh, God, unnecessary shots, Rick. All right, Carlin.
Yes.
Jay Williams may join us next.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure the next 4 to 5 minutes are going to be very stressful for you because you're going to have to sit there and pontificate whether or not he's going to show up or whether or not waffles.
I've got some anti-anxiety pills right next to me.
Pop the whole bottle and we'll see.
Munchkins.
also known as donut holes.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
With us, Jay Williams of KJZ fame. Good morning, Jay Williams.
What's up, brother? How you doing, man?
Oh, we are doing great. Let's get to the
bottom. I don't like guys from Oratory Prep in Summit. Oh. I don't like Oratory Prep. I'll just start off with that.
I have a
Morristown,
question.
Not my cup of tea. Plainfield is where it's at, not Morristown.
What do you get your degree in? Fellatio in that school? I don't understand.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Holy cow.
You know, Wow. See, this is why I don't come on. This is why I don't come on.
I have a question, Jay. How dare you?
In that neck of the woods. Jeez. I didn't even know that was a thing.
I don't know what to say.
I'm lost.
Jay, good morning.
That wasn't me. That was Rick.
Yeah, no, I, of course that had to be Rick. So let's get to the bottom of this. You don't like Carlin. Can we just be honest? You don't like him, right?
I got to be honest. I love CC. I listened to him down at Philly Radio for a little while. And, you know, just be real with you guys. It's been tough for me. My mom's been in the hospital a ton. She suffered from diverticulitis, and she had a kidney transplant over these last 6 months. So I've been going back and forth to North Carolina, and obviously things with COVID, right? A kidney transplant, you take 24 pills a day in order to keep your immune system suppressed. So between, you know, our show, working with Keyshawn every day, which, you know, is draining, and then, you know, also doing NBA games, staying up late, doing NBA games early morning, just had a second kid. It feels like the walls are kind of slowly coming in on top of me. Have you guys ever had... Rick, CeCe, have you guys ever had, Dave, any of these kind of feelings before? We're like, what is happening right now?
Almost daily.
Like when Carlin walks through a door. Kind of has the same feeling.
Jeez. Wow. You see, CeCe, I was trying to lighten it up, make it nice, and that's what they did to you, Chris.
And now I feel atrocious for having these feelings that you've said all this. Like, oh, well, maybe I really am a jerk.
Well, we decided to play it up a little bit. Like, I listened to Key's call back when he was like, well, Jay, actually, you know, he wasn't driving. He has a driver. I'm like, thanks, Key, for putting my business in the street, first and foremost. I really appreciate you when you live in your $10 million, you know, brownstone in Brooklyn. See how I try to dig him back there?
Nice.
But that's, you know, that's where we are. So just always going to be real with you guys.
I was convinced, Jay, because we're both Jersey guys, that...
Yes, we are.
Frankly, Han had just completely... wanted to shut off the pipeline of guests when he was not there. I mean, this all was born out of me filling in for Alan with Bart. And every time, for whatever reason, it just came up. And I'm just thinking, I mean, just started making too much sense that maybe Han was trying to stick it to me.
How many shows can I do a day? That's the real question. So I do our show. I do SportsCenter. I do NBA Countdown. You know, I'm trying to call to every show, but sometimes my wife is looking at me like, you're on the phone again? Really? You just got home. You're on the phone again? I'm like, yeah, okay. But this is my job, but okay. So I'm trying to be everywhere all the time, but you're right. I hear what you're saying.
No, but if I knew what it actually was, I obviously wouldn't have done this because I look like a complete jackass, right?
Well, at least you're a good
looking
jackass.
I didn't need your help to do that.
It's okay.
You know what? I've completely changed sides. Jay, I'm sorry that this ever came to light. And Carlin, I can't believe you did something like this.
Yeah.
Carlin, it really hurt me that you would, you know, not call me or text me, DM me, try to reach out to me.
I mean, he just had a baby.
We never met in person.
Build a bridge.
I don't know if you sent the gift or you sent them a message or a note or something.
I mean, just something.
His mom's going through health issues.
I mean,
Carlin, you're a bad guy.
It's fair point.
See how quickly that's turned, Carlin? See where the bit goes now?
Normally, I'd try to come with some kind of a response here, but I got nothing. I have lost this, and I look like the most insensitive jerk on the planet. And I feel like it right now, too.
Well, at least we can laugh about it, boys.
All right, so let us ask you a quick question, too, about sports, and we'll let you get on your way. The Knicks. I mean, Carlin has this absurd take with this. Lakers loss the other night is so painful for him, and now he sees the 4 seed slipping away. And Rick and I are like, can you just enjoy what's happening here, big picture? What side of the docket do you fall on here, Jay?
I've been on the side of just, look, like, this is huge. What I've seen this year, and I've talked to so many NBA guys, do you guys understand how crappy the conversations would be about the Knicks? Like, with big-time players. Like, yo, what's up with your city, man? I'm like, what do you mean, Brooklyn? Like, trying to joke around. I'm like, man, the Knicks are just... It's horrible. Like, you guys are taking Charles Oakley out of there in handcuffs. Like, all these stories that I would hear from big-time players in conversations about New York. Do you know what my conversations about New York have been this year? Yo, man. Those colors are looking nice now. That orange with that pop-up, that's looking nice. Man, Madison Square Garden, that seems like that's a place to be. Yo, I like the way they play hard. Man, they're like World Wide West, man. I've talked to him about, you know, what... I've had so many positive conversations with great NBA players about the Knicks organization that regardless of whether they meet Brooklyn or whoever they meet in the first round of the playoffs, right? Like, I don't think they're going to get that first round of playoffs. Fine. Like, they're in that sixth seed now, right now, currently. That can change. But this is what you want. This is exactly what you want. You want the ability to lure in a big-time player that fits the DNA of how the Knicks play. And right now, the Knicks have the attention of every big-time player in the NBA. And that's drastic change from what it was over the last 10 years.
Jay, let's just say for a minute, Miami ends up losing one of these games. Knicks run the table. They win the last two. They end up in the fourth seed against Atlanta. I mean, is that...
Yes, you can win that.
Okay.
You can win that. Yes, you can. That's one you can win. I love the Hawks. I love Trae Young. I love the way they play. Look, I think Nick McMillan has done a great job with that team. But watching the Knicks even play last night, like the way they defend, man, and I know RJ Barrett probably had, you know, a night out in L.A. It happens to all of us where you go 2-for-13 and you have no legs. It happens, boys. Let's be honest. You're in the West Coast swing. But the reality is, like, when they play to the level that they can play at with the way D. Rose plays off the bench, like, this is a team that defends. And this is a team that draws a line in the sand, and they could beat anybody in the Eastern Conference. I'm not saying they can win a series against anybody, but they can beat anybody. And I think Atlanta is a team they can win a series against.
Well, I really have nothing to say.
Chris, I'm looking through my DMs right now. I see nothing from you. I see no olive branch, no like, hey, can we talk this through? I just see a lot of spewing hate on social media.
Well, John Crispin told me one time that you two were going to go to Rutgers until you decided to blow it off and go to Duke, so whatever.
Well, let's really explain that about John.
He's taking another shot at you.
It was really John, Troy Murphy, Dante Jones, and myself. And then Troy Murphy, you know, Del Barton's finest, went to shocking Notre Dame. And Murphy goes to Notre Dame. And then John decided to go somewhere else, so... Troy really messed that one up. That's not me. That's not me, CeCe. Once again.
Oh, figures. Del Barton guy.
Yeah. Jay, exactly. Jay. We're on the same page about one thing today. It's
exactly.
That, Chris.
Jay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that this happened. I'm sorry that he did this. I'm sorry that he's never reached out to wish you thoughts or congratulations or anything.
You know what
like
I want
to
do? Rick, can I bring my mom on the show next time to talk to Chris? Because I want them to connect. I need her
well,
to
Well, we can
hear.
Guilt them even a little more here, hearing your
that's
mother's
what we're
voice.
Gonna do.
Yeah. I think we'd love that.
All right, Chris, thank you for your time and support.
Yeah, tell Han to go to hell anyway.
Thank you, Jay.
All right, guys.
Oh, my God. I can't. I mean,
that could have gone worse for you.
That really couldn't have gone worse.
You're a bad guy.
Horrible guy. And that's, you know what that's going to do now? That's now going to hamstring me for the next 5 to 6 days when I'm doing shows. It's really going to keep me from saying anything about anybody ever. Because now I'm going to find out that half the Knicks team in L.A. the other night, you know, had sick family members, and I shouldn't be getting on them for losing that game.
Terrible by you. By the way, just want to reiterate, 8:30 this morning, Tom Thibodeau on KJZ with, obviously, KJZ and Jay Williams. And I'm sure it'll be more comfortable than that conversation was. Because
oh, absolutely.
Really just...
I mean, that really turned on me quickly. I mean, just so quickly.
Yeah, I don't know how you get up from that. I don't
think you do.
It's possible.
I don't think you do. I think you're on your best behavior for the next 48 to 72 hours, and you hope that it passes over. Because that was awful.
That was really...
His mother had a kidney transplant. She's taking 24 pills a day.
I had no idea.
He's going back and forth. I mean, he's traveling back and forth. He got a new baby.
Just had another child.
He's going back and forth to North Carolina. His wife's having a kid. I mean, I feel horrible.
You should. And I don't even know what to say.
And you're strutting around listening to Dua Lipa. No kids, nothing.
You're like, I'm feeling great. I feel like $1 million. I'm napping away. I'm co-hosting a show where I don't really have to say much. I mean, things couldn't be better for me right now. And this poor guy taking care of mom.
Doing 10 shows a day.
10
Phone's
shows
blowing
a day.
Up. Yeah.
Worn thin. Second child.
Yeah, and Fatty McButterpants over here is worried about the fact that you won't show up for 4 minutes on his show.
oh my God.
What an insensitive
At what point were you like, uh-oh? Like, at what point were you like, oh God, when he's like, and my mother just...
Oh, as soon as I heard the word mother, I'm like, oh, no. It's like, I just tap it out.
You win, I'm sorry. You know what you should do? Mm. You should send him something.
I really now I should send his mother some flowers or something.
Send his mother some flowers.
Yeah, I really should. And she's going to be like, who's this?
Who is Chris Carlin? Or yeah. Send her like edible flowers. That would be the gift that you would send.
Jerk.
That's not even funny. I mean, edible flowers.
Exactly.
It's awful. You're terrible.
You shut up.
You just pile it on this poor guy. Look, he's devastated.
Oh, please. I'm piling on. You're coming up with the most really repulsive jokes at 5:30 in the morning.
This is the time to get him out of my system, I thought. I was told the 5 o'clock hour is the time to get him out of my system.
Not like that.
What do you mean not like that? Sometimes you got to try out some new material.
No, that was terrible. Making fun of me. I let that go, but now we got to revisit that. What a horrendous joke that was.
Oh, my God.
Which one? About the oratory prep?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think there's an insinuation there.
Only you.
I think there's more than an insinuation.
only you. You really are. You have.
Well, I think we had different college experiences then.
You and me?
No, I think me and you had similar ones. Dave, I think.
Oh, here we go.
No. You and I both went to college. We didn't go to the same college. We didn't live the same life at all. You had a much different college experience than I did. You actually said, as I pointed out the other day, that you should have stayed in college when you were the number one pick in the NHL draft. That tells me right away that you and I had much different college experiences.
I wish I could have stayed and become a doctor. I loved it that much.
Oh, please stop it.
No,
become
I loved
a doctor.
It. I loved it. What do you mean? Why would you be surprised if I was a doctor? I got into Harvard. I mean, next step from there is...
Stop it.
I mean,
stop it. You as a doctor. First of all, your bedside manner would be horrendous. Love you.
I'd be like Patch Adams.
Patch Adams. It was one of the worst movies in the history of cinema. Patch Adams.
I didn't say I'd be filming the movie Patch Adams. I'd be like the funny doctor that people love.
A funny doctor. Nobody wants a doctor to come with a Bozo the Clown nose or mask. They want someone to come in and diagnose what's wrong with them.
You want to know what's really under the radar there was just bad and triggering for me in that whole thing, too, is that he mentioned Delbarton, which is like the richest school in New Jersey. I went there for an interview and completely tanked it on purpose because I had no interest in going. Like, my parents wanted me to go to.
So you intentionally tanked the interview?
Oh, absolutely. Oh. I tanked it.
All right.
Like I was trying to get the number one pick.
Much like the Yankees did their attempt at the series sweep last night. Oof. I mean, I know you win the series. I know you feel good about the Yankees winning 2 out of 3 and Gerrit Cole and all that stuff. But, I mean, guys, it's the same issue. If the Yankees get phenomenal starting pitching and their bullpen does what they've done, yes, then there's a good chance they're going to win. But if they allow some runs, offensively, they are horrendous.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I mean, you said it. I mean, you're talking about a series that they actually won. I mean, they win 2 out of 3 games. They scored 5 runs the entire series. Again, I mean, and it's Rich Hill, right? I mean, that's the other thing that you look at. I mean, the guy's out there pitching. He looks like Eddie Harris from Major League. He shut you down. They looked lost against Rich Hill last night.
Put some jalapeno on that ball.
Yeah, the Vaseline ball.
Got Vaseline.
Yeah. I'm not supposed to look at the Yankees from 30,000 feet and feel good about the fact that they're 20-17 after their start of the year. Like the Knicks? I'm not supposed to do that, I guess? No, okay.
Different expectations, you're allowed.
That wasn't funny.
No, time out. Different expectations. You're allowed with the Yankees because they're telling us they expect to win a championship. So you can be critical.
Carlin, you're going to compare the Knicks to the Yankees?
No, I was being facetious.
It wasn't funny.
Yeah, well, you would know.
This is what happens, though. He just got beaten down by Jay Will. I mean, we've lost him, I think.
Look. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, speaking of foregone conclusions that we were discussing earlier, that the Yankees are going to break out of it offensively. I mean, they'll be better offensively at some point, but considering how things have gone across baseball this year, and you look at what all the numbers are and how much of an advantage the pitchers have had, maybe the Yankees are not going to be a dominant offensive team this season, considering how they're constructed. I mean, it could be. But they may actually need their pitching to carry them at points this year, as opposed to the game plan going in, which was to beat the daylights out of teams.
But dominant and what they're doing are two very different sides of the spectrum. Like, they're bad offensively
anemic.
Right now.
Anemic. Yeah, they are terrible offensively right now. And look, when you have and Judge and Stanton haven't even really been the problem. You know, Stanton was so good for so long, but, I mean, Rick pointed it out earlier, the bottom half of the Yankee lineup is non-existent. It's Sanchez is just lost.
He had two hits. Stop it. He had two hits yesterday.
I'm not getting excited about two hits. I'm not. I'm not getting, I'm just not going to operate as if they are going to come back and be the team that was supposed to score 6 and 7 runs a game this year, at least consistently. I think
there's a lot of holes right now.
I mean, better than this.
Listen, I mean, you mentioned it though. It's going, I mean, baseball period is dealing with this right now. I mean, the pitchers are so much further ahead of of the hitters. And I don't know whether it's the new baseball. I mean, we had Buster. He said foreign substances in the ball. But, I mean, at some point, like, I don't know how you couldn't believe that maybe LeMahieu, Stanton, Judge are gonna hit. Like, those guys I don't necessarily worry about. I worry more, like, health with Stanton and Judge, obviously. Urshela offensively, he's been pretty consistent. I mean, he's been okay. He's been one of your more consistent guys, actually. But, I mean, at some point, I mean, I don't know. Like, what do you do with the bottom of the order? Like, where are the reinforcements with the bottom of the order?
What are you supposed to do?
Well, there's really nothing. That's what I'm saying. Like, I mean, what are your other options?
Your guys, Clint Frazier or Brett Gardner, that's your left fielder. I mean, these are the guys that you've brought to the dance.
Well, and right now they can't hit. I mean, you're talking about, I mean, Frazier's at 141. Gardner's at 182. Mike Ford's hitting under 100. I mean, it's tough to win like that.
You know, Frazier is so far down the line here. At what point do we just admit, like, it's
but
he's
do what,
not
Chris?
A prospect anymore?
But do what with left field? You get a
No. I understand. Like, there's not an option.
I mean, but, you might admit that he's not the answer
yeah.
in left field long term, but for mm-hmm. the present, I don't know what you're supposed to do.
I think you might at some point the Yankees, because I mean, you could clearly tell how aggravated Aaron Boone was the other day when he got kicked out.
I don't blame him.
Well, but on top of the fact, like, I mean, you're dealing with the Gleyber Torres thing and everything else. Your bench is light. Like, we can't afford to have you kicked out of the game. At some point, I wouldn't be surprised if they end up, you know, bringing up someone like Floreal and giving him a chance.
Like, the thing we forget about Floreal is he's been hurt so much. He's barely played in the minor leagues. Barely. But he's at the point now where you almost have to bring him up.
And he would add a nice little element to this lineup, too, with his speed.
Yeah. You have to look at everything, don't you? You have to look at something to jumpstart you at some point. Not even just the offense, but the team as a whole.
Yeah, they look dormant at times. I mean, if they don't get elite starting pitching,
yeah,
it's very difficult for them to win a game. And they are above 500, so you give them credit for that. Here is Stanton on the Yankees offense right now.
Back and forth, we're grinding, we're putting together some good at-bats, some good innings, but I think we got to do that through and through, all 9 innings, not be, in spurts, I'd say. That'll get us some more wins.
Good at-bats.
The grinding was
good
at-bats.
You lost. You looked lost again. You got 3 hits off Rich Hill.
Yeah.
He's a light-throwing left-hander. That's the kind of guy you're supposed to destroy a guy like Rich Hill.
But good at-bats and grinding would be the exact opposite of what I would say about them right now.
I mean, Mike Ford's at-bat last night absolutely destroyed them. I mean, first of all, you know, first and third and one out, you're here because at least you're supposed to add a little something offensively. You're hitting under 100, and then you hit a soft liner that a guy runs basically from right field to second base and still turns the double play. I'm confident I could have beaten that throw to first. And when you get that double play, I mean, he couldn't have been slower getting down the line.
It almost feels like the Yankees are so far one way, like so extreme with how they're set up. Like, I mean, and I'm not saying they have to make this like complete shift to all of a sudden, you know, the small ball and all those different things. Like, I find, but at some point, like, do you need to be this completely one-sided with how your team is constructed?
But this is what they have.
It's poorly constructed.
Yeah. I think
I understand this is what they have, but I mean, this is, again, it feels like we talk about the same thing every single year with this team.
Yeah, it's certainly frustrating.
About Brett Gardner. Guy's hitting under 200. Same thing.
But you know what? Brett Gardner should not be a guy that is playing 5 times a week at this point.
Agreed.
Yeah, but he has to. You have no choice. Frazier can't hit.
Yeah,
Aaron Hicks hasn't. I mean, he's been hurt, but he's not even hitting.
Gardner. I don't blame Gardner. You know, Frazier, for years we've been hearing, he just needs a chance. He just needs an opportunity. Well, he's getting a golden opportunity, and he is blowing it right now.
And we had also heard that he'd matured, and I don't think he has at all.
It doesn't feel like it.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.